Get a load of these wrestling nerds. Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
The champ is here!
Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers. That's what they are. Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
Yeah, we got new champs as predicted at the Clash of Champions.
Not a new champ in this building.
Ugh.
And that's a nice tattoo of your mother on your back.
I don't remember that line.
John Cena.
I know it's John Cena,
Send
but I can't
Brock.
Remember. Oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
This must have been years ago.
Oh, dude, it was great.
I can barely remember the Clash.
I loved it.
It's another edition of Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. Man, we've got so many things to talk about. Like I said before, we've got some new champs from the Clash to talk about.
We have a new King of the Ring.
Yeah, we had, let's see here, a new King of the Ring and possibly a new hero with that wasn't the King of the Ring.
We also have a new father of Maria Kanellis' child.
Which talks about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, possibly 6 debuts or re-debuts or comebacks that we had this week.
Yep, including Brock Lesnar, big return on SmackDown, jumped out of my seat for that.
Yeah, we had some interesting stuff with NXT going on.
We did. We also had Rey Mysterio getting back to his winning ways.
Yeah, it was a good week of wrestling and a lot of wrestling to take in.
Yeah.
I mean, did I miss anything so far?
I think it's only going to become more and more wrestling. Also, Offset from Migos introduced Queen Wu.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. Guy's done a record with her father. Couldn't get her name right. But it was cool to see him out there in the robe.
What was that cat that was always unimpressed?
What?
You remember that cat that was
the grumpy cat.
The grumpy cat that's like, I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was
when
you.
That was happening.
Also, Carmella decided to back up Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, what was with that?
In the Sasha and Bayley attack. I love Mella, but I want to put out a little PSA to her right now. Bayley is just trying to be loyal. She's just trying to be a good friend. You need to get your pretty little nose out of Bayley's business. Mic drop.
I don't think that's a good thing to do. Is you tell her what to do. Even though you are the champ, congratulations.
The champ is here.
When our predictions beforehand, I really was not doing well at all. And I started out great.
Yeah, it seems like it was so long ago.
I know, right?
Yeah. Because
we're taping this on Thursday. We decided to do this after NXT.
Yeah.
We both had things come up yesterday. Well, mainly me. But we had some things come up. So today is Thursday while we're taping this. And yeah, it seems like a long time ago. You know why? Because there's so much wrestling on.
Yep.
So much happening. We might have to start doing this on Tuesday.
Because
we'll have an opening between Raw and the pay-per-views.
Right.
And then we can speculate, NXT the next night and SmackDown on Friday.
Dude, it's gonna
But then the next week we'll have to talk about, NXT a week ago.
Right.
Maybe we have to do this twice a week.
Dude, I don't know.
Plus, AEW's out there somewhere,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, if we do this twice a week, I'm asking for a raise.
Me too.
I need it.
I mean, as many people as we're bringing to the company with
this podcast. That's what I'm saying. We have one of the top 50 podcasts in the company of like several hundred.
Of like 55 podcasts.
Come on, I'm trying to make it sound good here.
Do you got some news?
Dude, I got all the news. You want to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right, let's dive head first in 3, 2. I'll let them do the countdown. 1, 2, 3. My first piece of in the news, Moose.
Yes.
Rumor has it, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, they're reporting that a former WWE champion is currently cleared to compete and waiting for creative to give him something to do on television.
You said him, because I was thinking of somebody else that's just been cleared to compete.
I'm talking about a guy that's been out since suffering a concussion sometime after WrestleMania 35. I'm talking about
Daniel Bryan?
Sheamus.
Whoa!
There you
finally!
Go. Here he is, the Celtic Warrior.
Yes!
And we obviously know the guy's been working out like a madman. We keep up with his YouTube channel, The Celtic Workouts.
Well, the cool thing is being here in Nashville, we know that Seamus lives in Nashville now.
We both have memberships to the same gym.
Well, you have a membership to the same gym as him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you guys go to the same gym, work out together.
Well, no, he's never actually spoken to me. But we both go to the same gym.
He's never spoken to me either. Last time I saw him, he was at Opry Mills. It's a huge mall. And I was like, dude, what's up, Seamus? And he was like, eh. And
gave me the old talk to the hand.
Kind of in a way, but I mean, as obnoxious and tall as I am, and it was like 11:30 in the morning at the mall.
You would have just drawn way more attention to him.
I think he was just going in there, getting some shoes or something, and getting out. It's like, leave me alone, dude.
Right.
But yeah, I'm glad to see him back. I love Seamus. I think the guy is going to tear it up. How are they going to bring him in?
That's what I'm wondering. That was my next question for you.
Rusev was brought in under terrible circumstances.
Yeah, I kept that off my list because I really just don't think it's a big deal.
That's the thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's hold off on the mustachioed one.
Okay.
Here in just a little bit because there's a lot to unpack.
You were jacked about it.
I'm so jacked.
I tried to get under your skin by leaving it off my.
He's so much better than Bayley. But
hold on now.
When you said someone was returning, I just got word that Tamina
really
is back, but she's not a former champ. Maybe in NXT she was a champ. I'm not sure. But
I don't know. But she'll certainly kick your ass.
Absolutely. And I'm afraid of her.
Yeah.
But she's coming back too sometime really, really soon. Actually, I wrote down some other injured folks that we'll talk about later that are coming back.
All right, cool. Well, let's jump over to the AEW side of things. All right. I'm gonna do a piece here about Kenny Omega, and then Moose and I are going to give you a live reaction to a press release that was literally just put out minutes ago by All Elite. But first things first, Kenny Omega says, and I want your thoughts about this, Moose.
Yes.
Kenny Omega says that WWE NXT superstars would be in the dark match to his main event.
Really?
And that AEW has quote-unquote real stars.
Well, I think they're going to try to do as much as they can because, honestly, last night, we talked about this possibly with WrestleMania, but with XFL possibly buying Super Bowl ads in specific markets. And in specific markets last night, AEW did run ads during NXT.
Yeah, I actually have that here in the news.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's fine. They're literally all over my news sheet this week.
Okay.
Because Kenny Omega, and let me read you this quote.
Okay.
He says, and I quote, "You're going to call that a war? You're going to call that competition? Go ahead. Maybe it's fun for you to do. That's cool. But we're completely different planets, and you're going to see that right away when you see 10,000-plus seat arenas sold out, and you're going to see smiles on fans' faces. You're going to see real stars, not developmental talent, but real stars appearing on your television sets every single week."
In some ways, he has a point. Other ways, he's selling his own product.
That's what I'm thinking, too. He's trying to throw some fuel on the fire. He's trying to get some more eyeballs and ear holes on the AEW side of things.
Did you say ear holes?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that right. But I honestly think it's too little too late. The hype with NXT now, they're just starting to get things out now. Why aren't they getting it out last week?
Exactly.
Or putting it like covering up last night's episode, because I gotta tell you, I haven't watched a lot of NXT.
They came out the gate,
but I'm watching a lot more now.
Yeah,
because that was a show. I missed some of the first hour. I caught the second hour, you know, on the replay.
Yep.
But I got snippets of the first hour from Triple H starting it until, of course, the Undisputed Era holding all the gold,
dude.
Incredible.
Shock the system.
It was fun to watch, and I definitely want to watch it again. I think they're not doing this very well, but we have a trailer to watch here.
Yeah, exactly. We have a trailer. I want you to cue that up right now. We're going to give our live reaction to it. We'll also link this trailer in the description wherever you find this podcast. But real quick, just to kind of set this up, on your point, you can really tell what's seasoned here and what's not. Like, how well did WWE roll out NXT on USA compared to how AEW is rolling this out.
Not just that, but during the show, the first hour, if you caught it, they already set up their next, what was it, 2 weeks from now, they're going to have that Shayna Baszler match.
Yep.
Which is the night that AEW debuts.
Exactly.
They're not dumb, folks.
Nope.
And if you think you're just going to cuss a little more
right.
and break some ball bats over people's heads, it's not going to work.
Nope.
It's never worked in the past. Figure out what your product is, do your product, and do it the best you can.
I think that's the thing right now. AEW is just the cool, the perceived cool kids at the playground. But guess what? School's almost out. You're not going to be cool anymore.
They haven't figured out the product.
Exactly.
As soon as they figure it out, I think they'll be fine. And I think that they will be fine. I mean, as Jericho, as your heavyweight champion, dude.
It doesn't get much better.
When you get, you know, they're getting hashtags everywhere because of, you know, a little bit of the bubbly or yeah. whatever it is.
Anytime I go into Kroger and I see that sparkling soda now, I always, under my breath, a little bit of the bubbly.
But I mean, hashtags don't sell everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet really doesn't sell much. I mean, you and I both in radio know that the internet can only do so much. You really have to have a supreme product.
Yep.
And if you have your product fine-tuned to where you want it, great. But NXT is still kind of undefined because people don't know what it is. But boy, oh boy, that's going to be tough to beat.
Oh, yeah, dude. So, yeah, let's go ahead. TNT released the All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. So we do have an official name as of today. They launched the trailer, which we're going to watch right now, and then also a second poster with all the talent and everything. It looks pretty damn cool. We'll definitely see how it rolls out, but let's react to this trailer right quick.
Here we go. Yep.
All eyes are on me, that's fine.
It's a drive, it's a hunger, it's a want.
They saw what wrestling was and realized what it could be.
All Elite Wrestling, a new league rises, October 2nd on TNT.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting. So basically what we saw there was a whole lot of, I'm going to replay it again for us to see. I'm going to turn the sound off.
Yeah.
Though, just so we can kind of go back. I mean, obviously they featured Jericho.
Let's dissect this a little bit. Yeah. Right off the jump, you get Jericho's face and then you get this really cool quick montage of Cody.
Right. But here's the problem.
We get Allie in here.
But here's the problem. I don't see star power. I saw Cody, but you can't tell it's him.
Right.
You know, you get Jericho right off the bat. I don't know who this girl is. Jimmy Havoc, I know because I like wrestling.
Right.
I know Kenny Omega.
MJF we see, but you don't.
They don't feature Kenny Omega very
much.
But,
I mean, with that said, it does make him seem like, oh, this guy must be important. Right?
Right.
A new league rises. That's pretty cool. Concept.
But they're showing a couple of things now. When they get to the Young Bucks, it's like, hey, there's a move I haven't seen before.
You're like, whoa.
But and then of course the guy that crashes through the ropes is kind of cool, but where's the rest of that? Give
yeah.
all of that.
Right.
If you're gonna put your best foot forward, you're gonna sell this Wednesday night, knock it out of the park. And these guys, I don't know, it's kind of, there's Moxley.
Yep.
Which is great.
You see, all right, in the end here, you got Jericho on the right, you got Brandy on the left, and then the final shot is Cody with his back to the camera.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's going to be fun. I'll tell you that. All yeah. I know is it's going to be fun to watch.
So let me ask you this question. If you're just the casual wrestling fan, does that right there get you excited? Does that have the star power? Does that have the draw to have you say, you know what, I want to dedicate my Wednesday nights to this just to see what it's all about?
I think that here is a different scenario when you look at it. A casualing wrestling fan, okay, somebody that just kind of keeps up with the pay-per-views and stuff like that.
Right.
They're definitely going to check it out. But are they going to stay? That's the whole point of things.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, you know, with WWE, we've had fights back and forth with WWE on what they're doing with storylines. I mean, we've got the Canelo storyline all of a sudden pop back up after a month of being disappeared. But I understand the reasoning for it. And I think that fans kind of get it in a way. But AEW has no storylines whatsoever. And this is where they're going to begin some of their storylines. They've got some from the pay-per-views, but Luchasaurus, what the hell is that? And what kind of storyline are you going to have with that?
I think, you know, as silly as that is, I think if you, like, to me at first, I blew it off. I was like, this is stupid.
Oh,
this isn't what I want. But when you actually accept it for the charm that it is,
sure,
you can kind of get behind that. But it takes some warming up too. It certainly does.
But they put him in the promo too, and it's like, I get that it's a variety, basically, of different wrestlers and things like that. But to me, throw some stuff in there that is probably your most popular. You know, like seeing Moxley just DDT stinging Kenny Omega on the chips.
Yeah.
Why wasn't that on there?
That's a good question. And getting back to the part of the Luchasaurus, maybe it was kind of, who is this 7-foot guy wearing a lucha mask?
But you can't tell that he's 7 feet in that
promo. Exactly.
You need to have some disposition or some juxtaposition of what that is.
It could have been him standing next to Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy could have did it because Jungle Boy is what, 4'2"?
Exactly. It would have made him just look even that much more bigger.
Well, I mean, we kind of expanded on that story and maybe took care of another one too, didn't
we? Well, I don't know if, so this is a trailer. I don't know what commercials they're running, if it's this actual spot or not, but AEW commercials were running during WWE programming this week. So it looks like AEW purchased some commercial time during NXT and SmackDown this week, and a bunch of fans took to Twitter when they saw the commercials and started tweeting them out. And the commercials aired in various markets, and it looks like DirecTV was the main provider. So if you have DirecTV, you probably saw these spots during SmackDown and NXT. I didn't. I have Xfinity. I didn't see it.
See, here's what I would end up doing. I didn't see it either.
What kind of play is that? What kind of move is that?
It's a move like we said before. Vince is going to do it with the XFL. It's not a dumb move. It's not. But you got the jump, or WWE got the jump on them by saying, oh, well, we're going to start NXT 2 weeks before you.
And they also booked a bit, like you just said, their big angle is going to pay off because they opened up the show with that kick-ass women's match, and that was super good, and that payoff is going to be in 2 weeks.
Well,
it's just, I'm ready to go to war here, bro.
If I'm AEW, why am I not warming up Wednesday night a month ahead of time with, you have had, what, 3 pay-per-views so far? Let's put each pay-per-view on a Wednesday night, a very shortened version.
Build up to it.
Build up to it so people understand, or they're like, hey, what is this? Tell me more about this.
I get that.
Give the backstory. You know, warm it up because you could have had that playing last night.
I get that.
Nope.
But I also see the flip side of that token. If you're going to debut on TV and the whole selling point is that you're live and you don't know what's going to happen, you kind of want it to be in whatever arena you're in that night.
But
I get the same side of the story that you're coming with
here.
The
whole thing is getting the fans to understand and know the product.
You're going to have to warm up to it. If you're the casual wrestling fan, you're going to definitely have to warm up to it because it's not nearly as polished. It's not nearly as simple to watch. And I don't mean simple in a negative way. I just mean easy to consume as your Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown shows.
Well, and Friday Night SmackDown looks to be some of the stuff that they're setting up
for. Smokes, dude.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about that, let's get into your next news piece. Is that it, or you got one more?
Well, I kind of wanted to wrap up the news by saying that the Beast Incarnate is back. We obviously saw that on SmackDown Live. Brock Lesnar returned. He's got the beard coming back. Heyman brings him down, and he challenges Kofi Kingston, which we speculated that Brock, when he had the Brock Party briefcase, he was going to cash in on SmackDown on Fox. But now we're going to get that match anyway.
That was the point I was just about to get to, is you knew when it came to, you know, the first debut of Fox on, you know, or the WWE on Fox.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar had to be a part of
Absolutely.
It. And again, 2 weeks. No, not on the pay-per-view.
Nope.
We're going on down TV. On live TV.
And that's where Kofi loses his title.
And you know what? I think so too.
The internet will explode.
Well, and it's the first time that we've seen Kofi have a formidable opponent. So to speak. We've seen a couple of them that were like, hey, he could beat them. He could not beat them.
Yeah,
he ended up beating
like
them.
Randy. It's like that could have went either way.
Could have went either way. Brock, though, his party's over.
Yeah.
He's back to throwing pancakes, which is something I loved him doing.
Totally.
And I love the new day. I mean, Brock is going to be the champ, and it's going to happen on SmackDown. If we get swerved on this, we're both idiots.
Totally. Well, we've been idiots in the past. We probably will again.
Never!
But that right there is going to conclude in the news.
Man, we do need some kind of outro, don't we?
We really need to get something.
Boom! That was the news. Whatever. Let's talk about. Let's back up a few days. Let's talk about Clash of Champions.
Yes, let's do. Let's do a quick rundown here and see where things really went wrong for your predictions.
Well,
I put my title on,
it went. Oh, geez, rubbing it in.
Oh, it's just heavy.
Well, it came to the pre-show.
I heard my back carrying this thing,
and I'm gonna tell. Let it go. You know what? I have a feeling that I can cash in that working title briefcase.
You son of a gun.
Where is that briefcase? Did you hide it?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to wait till Hell in a Cell. If I lose Hell in a Cell, yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway, didn't catch the pre-show. Did you?
No.
Had some network issues.
Did you?
It's with two different TVs, so I don't know what's going on. I was trying to flip through the menu on one TV, and it kept like moving the menu bar down. I was like,
what?
Obviously something's broke, whether it's my TV, but I went downstairs and my other TV, everything worked just fine.
Yeah, I wound up watching it 40 minutes behind because I was waiting for my buddy Michael to finally show up.
Michael?
So I had it on pause, and there was literally like four or five times I was like, you know what? Screw him.
You know, it's probably because he probably forgot his belts because he's got several of them.
He does.
But no, I didn't catch the pre-show, but we knew Drew Gulak would win. He did. A surprising thing on the pre-show was Cedric and AJ Styles.
Not Cedric the Entertainer.
No, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
And we had rumors last week floating around the internet saying that this was going to be Paul Heyman's guy.
Yeah.
They're going to start making him,
Anything going to come out of that, do you think?
Rumors this week is Vince wants to squash him.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, and it kind of seems that way because he's lost the last three or four big matches he's been in.
Yeah.
Or I think he's won one of the last four. But, I mean, AJ Styles tore him up.
Dude, AJ is one of the best ever.
On the pre-show, great match, too. Possibly a contender of match of the night because there wasn't really a lot of... I'm looking at the match, the card, and I'm not seeing matches that were just amazing.
There wasn't like instant classics.
No, I mean the Randy Orton.
But then again,
Orton,
they don't all have to be.
Yeah, the Randy Orton and Kofi match was good.
You know, that was the one where I just lost interest.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I think that was placement because it was after a pretty good match. So we'll run down. Let's get past the pre-show. Then we got, of course, the tag team championships for the Raw titles were on the line.
Yeah.
This is where I
couldn't believe you called this.
I scored big time. Dude, with a name like Rudolph as your tag team, come on.
I even got a DM on Instagram from my pal Dave back home.
Yeah.
And it was the photo of Rudolph with the belt. He's like, dude, this is a cool freaking tag team.
He
hasn't
cool
watched wrestling in years.
But the flip side of that, one of the tag teams that's starting to come back is AOP.
Yeah, they have kind of a different demeanor about them.
I stinking love it.
Yeah, it's scary.
I love the subtitles.
Yep.
I wish they would do that with Shinsuke, but I mean, obviously with Sami Zayn, it's really super cool now too. But I stinking love it. Those guys are going to be beasts. Where are they going to end up? Because we do have a draft coming up.
Yeah.
They're going to end up in one or the other, which I freaking love.
Yep.
I don't want any of these people crossing over anymore. I want this is this show, this is that show.
Yep.
Because I kind of think like when Kenny Omega was talking about NXT being developmental.
Right.
I don't think that's the case because they put new talent on.
That's
and they give new talent chances. But you realize how long that talent has been at the Performance Center and how long that they've crafted whatever they're done because when they're on their live shows, that's when they knock it out of the park.
Yep.
That's when they get all the rust off and that's when they figure things out. But and they might do some on the live shows, but to me, that just makes things more interesting.
Yeah, and the whole thing with NXT being the developmental territory, it's to develop your talents to doing it the WWE way.
Right.
So even as far as TV, as far as where their cameras are, as far as where just the whole production, the whole layout is so you can really excel in how WWE produces their TV.
And I think WWE gets it because when you start off, let's just take the Extreme Rules matches in AEW for an example. You started off with a stapled cigarette on the forehead.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
No question about it. The next one amped up to something that was unheard of that Mick Foley would have been like, yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, he had attacks on a skateboard. I mean, what's next? Are you going to go down an elevator full of snakes? I mean, what? I mean, you've got to keep topping yourself.
Speaking of thumbtacks, your voice sounds like Cactus Jack's looks.
I don't know what that means.
It's a good thing.
I don't trust you on that at all.
It is a good thing.
No, I don't.
But it's a good voice.
Let's get back to Clash of Champions.
Seth
Rollins, Braun Strowman. I thought the finish was perfect. You know, Seth got pinned by Ziggler, was it?
Yeah. I was
right. No,
I was,
by Robert Roode.
I was surprised that Seth took the pin.
Well, Braun's not, because we learn later in the night why he didn't take the pin.
Yeah.
Because he's a monster among men. The
right.
guy is a freaking animal. But I was up on this one. The next one, the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
I thought this was fun.
Yep.
And I thought it was interesting to see Bayley cheat.
Right?
Hardcore cheat.
I liked it.
The bottom turnbuckle. You did not
expect that, did you?
I had to rewind it.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because I actually had gotten up to get something out of the kitchen. And then I missed the finish, and I was like, okay, it's over already. What happened?
Yeah, I couldn't see that she was taking off the bottom turnbuckle until she had already rolled her up after Charlotte hit that.
Right.
And then you could see it on Charlotte's face after. She was like, you MF-er, you got me.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
Bayley bails with the title. I liked it.
It and bails out of there. This one, let's see here. Where am I with these here?
I can tell you right now, I took Bayley.
You did, and I took Charlotte, so we're even Stevens on this. And this is the last time that we'll be even Stevens. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, The Revival. Actually, no, we'll go through because we both picked The Revival to beat New Day. I thought it was a good, solid match.
Yeah.
There wasn't really anything that stood out, but I kind of knew, and I think you did too, this is going to be their belts to win. They did it.
Yeah.
It was nice. You know, I hate to call things nice, but then the Women's Tag Team Championship, the Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross against Fire and Desire. Bit surprised on this one.
Yeah.
A bit surprised on this one because I did not think.
Bliss looked like a total badass, dude.
Yeah, and Cross
with the red
really.
And her hair, and it was just like, it was cool.
Yeah, it was that Harley Quinn look she had going, right?
Yeah.
It was a little
like it.
So are you saying.
With the red.
Are you saying that Mandy Rose didn't look.
Mandy Rose is overrated. I'm going to say it right now on Pro Wrestling Lifers.
Okay. That's not why she's donned how many covers of magazines? Now she's on Maxim magazine this month.
Dude, I could be on Maxim.
It's true. True. You'd have some work to get done, but...
Even though my body looks like Cactus Jack looks.
Right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. That match had a 24/7 run-in with R-Truth.
That was super cool.
I
thought Alexa was going to take the title for a sec.
That would have been, that would have made me happy.
Yeah, it was exciting.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
I was upset about that. I mean, let her have the title.
But then she has to defend
then,
it right in the middle of her
Fire
tag match.
And Desire could beat them or, you know, it makes her much more interesting.
I just liked that she said, screw it, I'm going to go for it and went for the roll up.
Yeah, it would have made it much more interesting, but it's not the way it happened. Shinsuke Nakamura then defeated The Miz, which I think we both knew that was going to happen.
Yep.
That was a cool match.
It was solid.
You know, Sami Zayn, I'm so glad.
On the mic the whole time.
Well, the mic got turned off.
Eventually.
Yeah, which was great.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the mic went off, I was like, thank goodness.
Good gosh.
I actually have a match. But because it gets annoying. And then like
you just hear him over the cut. Yeah, Shin! Yeah, take that, Miz! Yeah!
But, and Sami Zayn was always interfering. The neck brace nearly come off.
It was
nice.
Hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, it was a little unbelievable. The women. By the way, we both had those. You went up on me when it came to the Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross / Fire and Desire.
You don't go against Bliss and Cross.
I picked Mandy Rose and Fire and Desire. I thought it was getting the cover of Maxim. It's a big deal. Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch. This is what really ticked me off in the entire night.
Really? Because I love this.
I picked Becky Lynch to win, which she did keep her title.
Yeah, but did she win the contest?
She did not win the contest.
Nope.
Because she hit a referee,
yep,
by accident with a chair. And then
was it by accident?
And then was fined $10,000 by WWE.
Damn right she was. She should be.
Total bull crap.
What does she think? Just because she's the man, she can walk around doing whatever the hell she damn well pleases?
True, but
the boss has something to say about that.
That was a really, really fun match to watch. And I hate to say this, but I keep calling these matches fun. But the way that
wrestling's supposed to be fun.
The way
that
they're punching each other in these women's matches, the guys need to pay attention.
Right.
The way that they are, you know, I mean, the referee flop, by the way, was amazingly. It reminded me of the referee that when the last time that Big Show broke the ring.
Yeah.
Where he just flopped all ka-kum, over the place. Ka-kum,
ka-kum.
This guy took the chair shot and was out.
Done.
He
was out even the whole time they were just brawling in the stands.
But these guys are telling such a great story because she took Sasha up into the crowd,
yep,
around the concession, poured mustard all over her back.
That's a straw breaker right there.
I mean, but it was so great because it was everybody got involved with the match.
Yep.
The DQ came. It was the right call.
Yeah. I really liked the match too, but I will say the whole verdict on who won was kind of a little shaky. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Becky just hit the referee with a chair. She's disqualified, but we didn't get that announcement until like well after it had happened. So I'm like, well, what's happening here? It was, I don't know. It was a little, oh, okay. Well, I guess so.
I think what happened though is taking her out of the ring and beating her up out of the ring is definitely a catalyst of why we have this hell
in
a cell match. So, I mean, we have.
Well, that was the thing. I was watching it and I look over at Michael and I go, What can contain these two girls?
Yep.
Hell see what you're saying.
But luckily, and at this point, it's doesn't mean anything for me because I'm out of the picture at this point. But we'll go ahead and continue to roll through.
Dude, your bad luck continues.
It's bad. Kofi Kingston beat Randy Orton, a match that was perfect. It was a perfect end for the Randy Orton feud. And,
yeah,
and once it was done, we talked about Brock earlier. The first thing I thought of was, who's next?
Yeah.
Somebody's coming next. So when SmackDown happened and he came out, I was like, here it is. This is the best scenario you
can
possibly have.
Well, no, didn't it happen right at the end of Clash when Kofi was up on the ramp?
No. Brock came out.
No. I'm thinking about something else then.
Brock came out at SmackDown.
Yeah, but hold on then. I could have sworn that at the very end of Clash, what was the main event there?
The main event of Clash?
Yeah.
The main event of Clash was Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman.
Okay, I was going to say, for some reason, I thought like we were already done. I was like, are we glossing over something here?
No, because we were talking about the Fiend attack.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen.
That was on Seth, not on Kofi. Yes. I got that mixed up, yeah. Right.
But no, Kofi beat Randy Orton, Trouble in Paradise. Big time for Randy Orton. After the leg on the rope for the RKO, thought that was brilliant.
Yep.
Thought it was really,
staying
really good.
Staying alive.
King Booker made an appearance.
He did. That was great with the Street Profits.
And then we had Eric Rowan and Roman Reigns. No disqualification. Both of us had Eric Rowan because this no disqualification rule makes it so easy for someone else to come in. And who came in?
And if I remember correctly, you were saying somebody else is going to join up with Eric Rowan. Something's going to happen here.
But how does the WWE do this?
Because I don't know. I could have sworn he was done with them.
I'm so ticked because we all look at the obvious choices and they go, but wait.
Yeah.
There's somebody else waiting in the wings. And here's the thing. Usually when you hear somebody come in, and this is the thing, I rewound it just to hear the crowd. I never heard anything. So how did he get in there so fast to kick Roman in the face? And when he did, nobody saw it until he turned around, the camera in the room
must
have, and it was like,
oh my goodness. God. Yeah.
So
Luke frickin' Harper. I wouldn't have called that in a million years.
Corey Graves with a line too after that saying he didn't get beat, he got bludgeoned.
Yeah.
But setting up a great feud. I think Eric Rowan, even the next night on Raw, what, it was Raw or SmackDown, one of the nights, he came out, did a promo, really great. And then SmackDown, they had the big end with Daniel Bryan. So that was fun.
I did not see that coming, but I was, dude, I was hyped about it.
We've got the it's return week.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this is all going to go.
Well, it has to be return week. Let's finish up Clash here. Right. Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman. I hated the match.
I just don't care for Braun Strowman at all.
I love Braun Strowman. He's a monster. But let me tell you, three of those stomps without the pins, do it just like you did Brock.
Yeah.
Don't stomp him once and have him kick out, not even before the one count.
Yeah.
Then kind of lower it down. That's what the end's already coming. I've already predicted the ending. Stop it.
Right.
But they made up for it because, again, we have to remember these things. When it is a match for the ages, like a Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, you're going to get the match.
Right.
But this, Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman, isn't the match. So something has to give.
So you're going
to
get a new story.
Something. And, of course, the Fiend comes up and attacks Seth Rollins.
I jumped out of my seat. I did not expect that. But I'll tell you this right now. I'm jacked about it.
Yeah, so
this is exciting stuff.
For an overall grade for me, it's a B-. I mean, it was about the same here. It was a fun pay per view. There just wasn't any moments where you're talking about Ricochet stomping over two different opponents to Hurricane Rana the next one,
right?
And I might be missing something,
but I will say this: the pay per view was very story driven, which was great.
Yeah. That part of it was great, and we got
a lot of answers. We got a lot of things, you know. We got a lot of, finale out of it from certain feuds, and then we got a lot of kickstarts, brand new feuds beginning.
How do we not get Ric Flair as 24/7 champion in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah, you actually put a point on that.
I know, but it doesn't matter because I lost anyway. So I just lost it with another point.
Yeah, you did.
But how do you not do that? But two nights later in SmackDown, he shows up in the locker room with Charlotte just to go, "Hey, girl, what's up?" That's it. That's it. Come on.
Sometimes that's all you need.
No, I want more. I want
more Ric Flair.
No, I just want more from WWE.
Well, there's about 100,000 hours of him on the WWE Network.
A little bit, yeah.
I wonder if somebody's ever done the math of how many hours there are of particular superstars.
No matter how many hours there are, he still can't hold those alligators down.
No, can't. You'd think you'd have stronger legs by now.
The Raw after the Clash of Champions, fantastic when it came to the King of the Ring. That match was great. Chad
Dude,
Gable,
it really was. Gable kind of came out the winner out of that, even though he lost the match.
And I think that's why I alluded to earlier. I think Gable, with not only the match at the end of it, but coming back on SmackDown and stomping through, throwing, you know, Corbin around during the coronation.
Stepping on the crown.
I didn't expect Gable because, you know, every time you have, and WWE does this all the time, like your WWE weddings or your coronations, you know something's going to happen.
Always, right?
And for him to come out, it fit. It was right because he came out, beat the crap out of him with the scepter, destroyed the robe. But this leaves me with so many questions. Does he have a new robe and a new crown? Does he do all this stuff? Because I'm sorry, King Corbin.
Maybe that was a way.
No, really, it does. Really well.
It really does. And we talked about that several weeks back when we kind of did our forward speculation on how the King of the Ring tournament might shape out.
Yeah.
Just to see him in the crown and to see him with the robe. And it's just, you already hate looking at him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this is WWE's way to rid that stuff. But I don't want him to because I want to see him as that douchey, just pinky in the air crown.
It fits.
It's a heat magnet.
It fits him. I think he actually is such a good heel. It works for him.
Totally.
And it's the right move.
It would make you hate him even more.
When we were talking about this weeks ago, we looked at the internet speculating, and everybody was like, Corbin's going to win it. No questions about it. But the way they went about it, it kind of made you feel like, hey.
It was flip-flop, swerve all over the place, man. That tournament was actually really good if you like step back right now and kind of see how things shaked out.
Right.
It was really well done.
And I think that the Elias injury didn't even really matter because I think that would have just made Chad Gable look stronger going into the match. he didn't need it because, of course, you know, Shane McMahon put himself in the match and all that stuff.
He's the best in the world.
Well, let's talk about that. The whole KO situation. What are you getting out of this?
I'm getting that they just... Yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, anytime I see KO, like when I saw him in the crowd on SmackDown, he's holding up the ticket, I'm like, all right, this is cool. Something's going to happen here.
Right.
And then it's like, no, let him in the ring. Let him this, let him that. And then he's threatening with the lawsuit, which I thought was, even then, I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I was okay with it, but it's not the KO
that
we know.
Exactly. But then it's like, well, how long is this BS going to go on for before Shane McMahon finally gets his comeuppance and gets that little neck just strangled?
I think this is it. I mean, if you remember, KO was the first and last person to directly headbutt Vince McMahon.
And bust him open hard way.
Bust him open the hardest of ways. I think that KO has got
it. Do it, you son of a...
KO's got to have the history of putting all the McMahons down.
Yeah, even Stephanie. Super kicker.
But I think there's a story here. I think that KO suing, you know, Shane is kind of lame. That's my opinion.
I think it goes to show that KO is trying to play Shane McMahon's own game against him.
I think so.
So in that respect, I'm like, all right, that's kind of neat. But I want to see those two just have a straight-up fight.
Is this going to be Hell in a Cell? Because we got the draft coming up. We don't know where KO is going to go. If this is going to be, if KO is going to SmackDown, well, this is going to be featured on the first episode of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody in SmackDown will, you know, that's just tuning in for the first time is going to get that story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can, WWE does a good job catching you right up to speed.
Yeah.
Those hype packages are, they have me ready to run through a door.
I hope you're paying attention to AEW because they're really, really good at it.
They are.
They really are. I think this is going to be the end of Shane McMahon, though. I think that finally KO, sometime, maybe it's Hell in a Cell. I hope it is.
Yeah.
Because I think Shane McMahon, the whole thing is played out. It's done. We've lost some people in there, like Miz still hasn't got his comeuppance for Shane. I hope all of that's involved. Somehow.
I want Shane to lose and then have to walk up the ramp and then everyone throws tomatoes at him.
Right. Well, we've got the draft coming up. Let's talk about that. The NXT is not involved, apparently, in the upcoming draft.
Which was an interesting bit of info that I read.
But does that mean that Raw or SmackDown current superstars are not going to go to NXT?
I don't know.
See? I think that's the case. I don't think nobody's being called up at this time.
Right.
Because I think, and it's a smart move, I think you're developing a product on USA Network. You want to develop those stars.
Dude, between your Shayna Baszlers and your Adam Coles and your Eros, man.
Were you surprised that they didn't have a different look to NXT?
No, and I'm glad they didn't.
I kind of liked that they had kind of an old school look. I just wish they had a little bit more of a crowd. You know what I mean?
I get you. But
the crowd's totally into it, but there's a lot of quiet times. And you get that at, like, you know, local house shows and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, NXT every week is always done at Full Sail University. That's what NXT is, unless they go out on the road. I prefer them to do their shows in that building at that venue.
Yeah.
I like it better because it's... Oh, like Kenny was talking about in my news piece. Oh, expect every week to have 10,000 seat, you know, venues sold out. It's like, dude, I'm calling BS on that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're not going to do that.
No, not every week.
Just make great TV.
Yeah.
Just make great TV.
Well, and put together storylines, not that, you know, not like take your WCW tapes, watch those the first year of WCW, and then go, okay, this is where they started to go wrong after that. Let's keep the train going right. And I think they're going to take a lot from that. But another thing about we're talking about the draft coming up. Vince, get this. And this is a local angle here, too.
Uh-oh.
Vince has watched the most recent draft, according to my sources, over the internet. So this is 50-50. But the last draft was here in Nashville.
Oh, man.
So these new drafts are going to have a lot of pomp and circumstance. I think they're going to have a lot of celebrity power to them.
Really?
I would not be surprised. October 11th and October 14th, they are doing the SmackDown draft first. So that'll be the second week of SmackDown.
Second week of SmackDown on Fox, right?
Yeah, and then Raw will follow, which, I mean, you got a whole weekend to think about who's going to be on Raw.
Oh, gosh.
But I think that's where you're going to see some superstars. You know, you've seen people go back, like Tyler Breeze has gone back.
Yeah.
I think permanently, maybe?
And I saw Cesaro randomly show up at NXT UK to just have this kick-ass match with some other dude.
Right. So I think that there's probably some of those guys that are going to go back because they do have a stacked roster. And with all these returns, Rusev came back in the stupidest way, but Kane came back.
Tell me why that has you so upset. Okay. Break it down. The gloves are coming off here.
You take Rusev, who is very well known to be with Lana.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a package. All right. Dolph Ziggler.
Husband and wife.
Right. Dolph Ziggler, you know, let's take it to another direction. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are known to be together.
Yeah. Engaged.
Right.
Publicly.
Right. Lana, Rusev are married. You wouldn't bring any of those people back into a love triangle thing. I know I'm getting swerved on this. I know the next week it's going to be something totally different. That it's going to come out even before next week that Lana's really not, or that Rusev is really not the father. I know that's going to happen.
Yeah, he just interrupted.
But the way that they brought him back out, look, Rusev, dude, jacked.
Yeah.
Never seen him that jacked before. Mustache, perfect. I mean, he comes back with this nasty-looking porno mustache.
Yeah.
That's just perfect. I hope to God they let him talk because he is one of the funniest SOBs in the world. It's kind of like Sheamus. You don't understand how good of a talker Sheamus is. And those guys are pals.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if those two form a tag team and probably...
That could be kind of cool.
Really push the envelope and push guys like the Street Profits who are very good at talking.
Yeah.
But then you also have another group, another team that's very good at talking
right.
as well. So I'm pretty PO'd.
I'm just not the biggest Rusev fan.
Well, you just...
I never have been.
I don't think you appreciate for what Rusev is. Rusev, Machka, I don't know. Maybe one day you'll understand.
Hopefully.
Leah Rush came back with NXT.
Dude, I'm surprised you haven't brought that up yet. I didn't know that until I looked on Instagram after watching the first hour of NXT. And I was like, I was pissed at myself for missing that.
Not just that, but he came back, was in a number one contenders match, won the match. Dude, this one move he jumped off the bottom rope. He was thrown to the bottom rope, jumped back off of it, reached back to his opponent. I can't remember the guy's name. Grabbed him and stunned him. Almost won the match right there.
It's crazy.
It was the most impressive move I've seen.
Caught him
in a long
with the
time.
Old ace crusher.
A little cutter there, but the I think that obviously with him in the number one position, I think they realize what great of a talent that they have. They probably smacked him around backstage and said, look, you were acting like a D-bag before.
Stop acting up.
You know, but
here's your second chance.
Yeah.
And you know he's more like, all right, I'm not screwing this up this time.
And with a lot of their discussion, I believe that 205 Live is going to be absorbed into NXT.
Yeah,
which,
because they have the Cruiserweight Championship being defended in NXT.
Well, and he is going to be, I guess, going up against... Drew Gulak sometime soon. I'm not sure if it's next week or the debut night of AEW. Which,
well, you know what? I'm going to watch it without a doubt in my mind.
Sure. Sure thing. And I'll tape AEW, but
I'll be watching NXT live. I think that's that's the way I'm leaning right now too.
I hate to agree with you, but
that's surprising.
Plus we saw Kane come back for, of course, Knoxville week.
Yeah. And he said that he still has it.
But see, Ric Flair, Charlotte, North Carolina, not the 24/7 champion.
Yeah.
They go to Knoxville, Tennessee.
I don't know if Rick could get down to roll anybody up.
He doesn't have to. I mean, Jinder Mahal won it, R-Truth won it when Jinder Mahal is sleeping.
He did.
So, I mean, there's always a way to do it.
Yeah.
It's
got to get creative here.
It's just winning it back,
you know?
The Million Dollar Man bought it.
He did, which was awesome.
Right. So anyway, but Kane came back during Knoxville week, won the 24/7 belt, and of course set it up another thing with The Fiend.
He got taken out.
Which tells me they're like, hey, we want to keep this thing really, you know, closely guarded. We're not going to expose it. But The Fiend in the Firefly Funhouse this week was super cool because they interacted with Seth Rollins in a ring.
Yeah.
I thought once they started talking back and forth to each other, I was like,
wait a sec. So this isn't tape. What is going, you know?
It was pretty incredible. And for him to come out, you know, and say, this might be not the last time I see you tonight. And then they go back to him and he's got these pictures with everybody's X's in their eyes that he's taken out. Dude, what do you think about him being your Universal Champion? I've talked about it before, and I don't like the idea.
You know, it's just, dude, I don't know, but this is going to be a kick-ass feud. That's all I know.
I like the fact that he's come out. I mean, he squashed Kane or you know, mandible clawed him and everything like that. I like the idea that he's still coming out and surprising people. I like how the Firefly Funhouse is actually not just inside of his head now. It's actually happening.
What I like about it is he's such a wild card, but not for no reason. Everything he does is very calculated, and it's all to serve like a greater purpose for like further character development. That's what I really like about The Fiend.
And if you watch some things too, I think you're right. And I think not only The Fiend is doing that, but I think there's a lot of other little nods that you've got to understand. Like, I don't think it was mentioned during the commentary, but your girl Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
With the sharpshooter.
She did.
Didn't talk about Natty.
She looked good.
But that was there.
But she called out Natty while she was putting the hold on.
Right. But, I mean, obviously that story is not done.
I'm glad it's not because I love seeing Lacey Evans on my TV.
Is this foretelling some of the draft? Because wherever Natty goes, is that where Lacey's going? Because you only got 2 weeks.
Could be.
So...
Dude, I don't know. I hold on. Let's slow down for a second. Is WWE kicking ass right now?
Yeah. I mean, the chaos that was happening after WrestleMania, which was not foreseen at all because WrestleMania was such a great high.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you have this, you know, superstar shakeup.
Well, it's like a Monday. You start all over.
and then the ratings come out and they're like, oh, crap, we've got to figure things out. The only thing good that came out of the ratings dump is the 24/7 belt, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
I loved it,
but
I still do.
I don't know,
man.
But
I think Heyman's really getting his hands on Raw. I think Bischoff is really getting his hands on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and they're not pulling any punches. They're literally going out there every single week, and they're not like, oh, this will be fine until we get to, you know. It's like, no. Impact, make a big impact every single show, every single television broadcast,
right?
Something.
Well, and I think that's what you're seeing with the storytelling, the continuity. I love that they continue to bring things back. You know, this whole thing with Daniel Bryan's a good example. It was kind of shut down for a little bit. Now Daniel Bryan's back in this picture. He comes out, says he's never lied.
Yeah.
Which is true.
It's kind of cool because you see Daniel Bryan rather as a babyface or a heel, but just as a person that kind of stands next to his values.
But is he? Here's my question. I don't know where this is going.
You don't necessarily believe him.
I don't, because he was such a great... I mean, he changed the belt to be a hemp belt, which I want one still.
It was awesome.
And I loved him as that character. I don't want that character to go away. I wonder if this, to me, it's setting Roman Reigns up for the fall. And
right.
We finally get what we want. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns in a ring.
Yes.
But.
Gangbusters right there.
Absolutely. Oh, and we forgot about Harper and Owen is one of the more formidable tag teams
right?
now, too. That'll take off Rudolph.
Remember during one of our first podcasts where we looked up what bludgeon actually was? Dude.
It's a little hardcore there.
That is not a kind tag team.
No, and you got the heavy machinery, too.
Dude, yeah.
And his new look.
Belly power.
I mean, sticking it out there for all the girls to see.
Hey, I like it.
I mean, it was...
If you got it, flaunt it.
Right? But no, I think...
You know what's interesting is we're going through this list right now, and we're talking about all the things that are good, and they're far outweighing the things that are bad. And it seems like... Every single angle, every single program, no matter what spot you are on the card, right now it's like everybody has something going on.
Well, with all these returns,
really like that.
With all these returns, you're going to see the split, and you're going to see actual stars being made again.
Yep.
I think, you know, like I told you earlier with Rusev, a horrible way to bring him back. You know, Chris Jericho came back one horrible way too. but he was always a star.
He always makes it work.
You know, and I think that when he was brought back that one time where he was, me, and then he just ran out of the ring.
Yeah.
Nobody got it. It was confusing, but then it made sense.
Yep.
I think this is going to do the same thing. Plus, they've got so many stars that are coming off the injured reserve, so to speak. We talked about Tamina. We talked about Sheamus. Jinder's not far off. Bobby Lashley. Drew McIntyre could return any day, as well as Tommaso Ciampa.
I'm excited for Tommaso to come back.
Is he coming back in NXT?
No.
Or is he coming back on one of the
brands? He's going to get drafted.
Okay.
Yeah, my big question is, are we going to get Ronda Rousey on the SmackDown debut on Fox?
I don't think you wouldn't have Ronda Rousey in some form or fashion.
How exactly is she going to be woven into this storyline? Because things are Sasha and Becky right now, which is great. You got Bayley and Charlotte right now, which is great. And I love Sasha and Bayley together, obviously. I don't know where Ronda fits in the midst of all that, but I think just as far as star power alone, you got to have her there involved.
Well, and I think that's what Fox demanded anyway. We talked about this. Dude, I can't believe I'm about to say this. We talked about this last year.
Yeah.
We've almost done this for a year.
That's crazy. What number episode is this?
This is 49?
48. Okay, yeah.
So we got three more to go for a year's worth. I mean, we've already done this over a year.
And then
but
we're hanging it up.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, just that. 1 year. It was a bet we took with corporate.
Yep, it's all done.
We could do it for a year. I'm kidding. We're not going anywhere.
But I think, yeah, if you're
going to... straight to the top!
You're going to bring out all your big guns. I think Cena's going to be there in some form of fashion. Ronda Rousey could be there to just cut a promo. Or there to, like you say, just you know, maybe with the man. Think about this. If she comes in some rhyme or reason, some way, the night before, basically, it's two nights before Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell happens. You've got Becky Lynch and you've got Sasha Banks. Our booking hats are put on here. I'm saying this.
We're going to have ourselves a new champion.
But how fun would it be to see Becky lose because of Ronda Rousey?
That's a pretty decent point. However, for me, I'd love Ronda to come out just to put the women's division on notice. Like, hey, don't get this all mixed up, out of sight, out of mind nonsense. I'm still here, and I decide when I want to come back. I'm putting every single one of you on notice. When I do come back, I'm taking that title.
But see, that's exactly what I was talking about. She comes out Friday, says that two nights later, trips Becky through the cage or hits Becky through the cage with something, and then Sasha becomes the new champ.
I don't know.
Fuel for the fire there.
Yeah, I'm excited. I honestly think Sasha Banks is going to win. I think it's time for Becky to chase after the belt. And if Ronda does cost Becky the title, that's going to be an incredible feud that won't need the belt involved.
Well, I agree with you, but I think if you were a real man, you'd put 2 points on it for our next predictions. Because
I'll put 2 points on Bayley.
No, you won't.
Tell me I won't.
That's a really just like
Nobody
Lacey Evans.
Nobody calls me chicken, Biff.
Your Lacey Evans picks that really got you in a hole.
Yeah,
that's pretty stupid. With that, that's right up in there, and that's idiocracy part of it.
I love Lacey Evans.
She's okay.
She's a real woman. She's classy.
I don't know.
She's a great accent.
I don't know if she's truly classy or not.
I think she is. Mm. I think you're just a nasty.
Well, dude, that's all I got. It's been a hell of a week.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it's going to slow down anytime soon.
I'm kind of glad we've got like 4 days of unwinding before Raw hits again.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be topsy-turvy. We've mentioned a lot of names who are possibly, able to come back. Are we going to see some more names? Because this is another thing that WWE is doing, because AEW, thank you AEW now.
Honestly.
Because we're getting all these returns this week.
And it's not so much just about the return for the sake of a return. It's involvement into an immediate storyline that is meaningful.
It's because you have competition is why you do good. Competitions push you to be better, and this competition is pushing them. Even though they'll say, and Triple H said it last night, it's one of those things that you know this is in the back of their minds. They're trying to keep what they've got, and not only that, they're making it better.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be some of the most exciting times over the next 3 months to watch wrestling.
I'm with you. Absolutely. Well, for Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. Didn't fumble that one, did I?
No, you didn't say, what was that other name we had?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been so long.
But we'll catch you next week, all right? Rip 'em.